probably heard someone preach concerning, because they're compact, powerful verses, and I like them a lot, so I get the privilege of preaching them here tonight. This was kind of a different day weather-wise, wasn't it? It was ominous most of the day. We walked outside, and it was overcast and gray. Maybe you guys are used to this, but it was overcast and gray, and I thought, I didn't know I was on the West Coast, but it's not what it was. Just it came to us. So thankful for the rain last night, and glad for the cooling down of the temperatures. I guess in the next couple of days, it's going to cool down significantly over the next little bit. So ready or not, here it comes. Hey, thanks again for coming. Do plan on coming to every service that you possibly can. You can probably figure this out, but let me just state it, that whenever we have the privilege of preaching in revival meetings like this, I don't always know at the beginning of the week what I'm going to preach each night of the services, but I ask the Lord about it all throughout the day, and almost always it seems obvious to me that God builds one truth upon another truth, precept upon precept, truth upon truth, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And so the more you can be a part of it throughout the week, the more beneficial it is. And then let me just mention this as well. If you know people that need the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, not every service will be necessarily a gospel preaching service where I just explain the gospel from the Scriptures, but in every service, there will be explained at some level about who Christ is and what Christ has done and the fact that what He has done is enough for us. And someone would certainly benefit, who doesn't know the Lord, would certainly benefit by being here. And so feel free to invite anybody and everybody to come all week long, and then just pray that God will speak to our hearts. And I'm looking forward to it. I prayed for you all today. Generally, those who I know by name or by sight, I prayed for you and will continue to throughout the week, and I'd appreciate it very much if you'd remember to pray for us as well. We're going to be in Philippians chapter number 3, and we're going to start in verse number 12. This is the Apostle Paul who's writing a letter to the church in Philippi, and he's explaining truth to them, and this is kind of like his encouragement to them to continue on doing the things that they know to do, and he gives them some instruction here that is super beneficial. And so we're going to look at that together. Philippians chapter number 3, verses 12, 13, and 14. If you're physically able, would you mind one last time before you're seated for a while standing with me? We'll show our public respect for the Scriptures. This is Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. The Bible says, Paul speaking, he says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after," that is, I'm chasing after something, "if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Okay, time out. A couple of words that are used that we don't use in this way just when we commonly speak. When Paul says, "if I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended," it's talking about if I can attain, if I can grab a hold of it, for the same reason that I have been grabbed a hold by it. He's speaking of what Christ has done for him and the mission and message that he is carrying, the gospel. So he says here, I'm trying to get a hold of that which God has gotten a hold of me for. And he says in verse number 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." In other words, my job is not done. I'm not perfect. I'm not everything that I need to be. "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And Father, I pray that tonight we would be able to echo that which Paul has stated. For those of us who know your Son and know you, that we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling that you have for us in Christ Jesus. I pray, dear God, that you please give me strength and wisdom to say things that are going to be beneficial and helpful to the group that's gathered together tonight. I do ask again, Father, that you'd put your hand on many tonight and help us to step out of living in this world and for this world for the purpose of living for things that are eternal. And I ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks for standing. Please be seated. The Apostle Paul must have been a sports fan. At least this is my guess just from reading through his books. Whenever you read somebody or hear somebody speak, you kind of pick up on things that are important to them by the way that they speak. For instance, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, he would oftentimes use illustrations in order to get some truth across, and he would use farming-style illustrations because of the group of people to whom he was speaking, and farming would have been something that almost everybody in that day would have done, at least to some degree. The Apostle Paul oftentimes used sports or sporting events to explain a truth. For instance, he talks about fighting and wrestling. All of these are used as illustration to get across the truth. Here in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about racing or running. Now, I don't enjoy myself running, and if I'm going to get out and exercise, if there's a ball involved, then I don't mind running, or if it's a very short race, I don't mind running. But the thought for me of just getting out and just going for a long run, it's not something that I'm highly interested in. Now, the reason why is because I tire out fairly quickly. You will know this just by looking at me, but this body is not built for running. Or else, I've not run, therefore my body is no longer built for it. I don't know which way it goes, but whatever the case, if I get out and run, I get worn out pretty quickly. Oftentimes, the Apostle Paul mentions about running or racing being a good equivalent to the Christian life. If Paul did, in fact, write the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, he talks about laying aside the sin and the weight that so easily beset us, and let's run with patience the race that is set before us. Okay, so this is an illustration that does well as a picture of explaining what the Christian life is like. But what grabs my attention in the verses that we just read is the fact that the Apostle Paul, who was used by God to write so many of the epistles and a lot of the New Testament that we read and gain so much insight and help from, the Apostle Paul, basically in the last two verses that we read, in verses 13 and 14, kicks apathy in the teeth. The Apostle Paul, in essence, says, look, I have not accomplished. I've not reached the end. I've not attained that which I am after. I'm not perfect. I'm not complete. And he says, in essence, so I'm going to keep on running this race, and I'm going to keep on doing it to the best of my ability, because I have something more to live for than what this world could ever provide for me. Okay, now that's instructive for me, because even today, when I was talking to the Lord about this passage, or actually talking to him about you all and about the ministry here this week, and I was asking the Lord, what is it that we want to be the focus? What do you want everybody here to be aware of at the end of the week that right now is not in the forefront of their mind? The thing that God brought to my mind about me, and that I'm supposed to also share with you, is how easily we are distracted from things that are eternal, and we get our eyes and our hearts and our mind focused on that which is temporal. And it can happen in ways that aren't in and of themselves wicked, but it's just that we're constantly barraged and we have flashes all around us all the time that keep our mind and our eyes focused on what's going on here and now. And if we're not easy, without even realizing it, and not intentionally turning away from God and that which is eternal, we begin to live life for what we can put in our bellies or fill our pockets with, and we forget that there is something far greater and far bigger to live for than anything this world has to offer. Now, the temptation comes to every person at every age. If you're a young person, the lights flash brightly for you to do everything you can to amass as much stuff as you can to yourself, to be successful, to have a family, to get a house, to get a car, to get two cars, to have a bigger house, to have a nicer car, to have a better car. And without even realizing it, we step into this cycle where, though it may not be purposeful, our attention is drawn to the things that are constantly just surrounding us every day without the realization, without having in the forefront of our minds on a daily basis and having it work out in a tangible way that this life is just a quick journey to lead us into what is truly important and what is really real and what is eternal. And the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, basically says, look, don't come to the place, Christians, don't come to the place where you are satisfied with where you are, and don't, more specifically, lose focus on that which you're supposed to be living for. If you're a child of God, and the Spirit of God is alive in you, God has given to you eternal life. And that eternal life is supposed to be lived out through you, where you and I are supposed to have in front of us consistently and constantly, that there's coming a day when we will stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we'll have the privilege of hearing from Him if we stay focused and faithful, which is what this passage teaches. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All right. Now, may I be transparent with you for a moment? And this is not for the sake of this message. This is honestly, I cannot think of anything, when I stop and think about it, I cannot think of anything in my life that has more value than hearing my Savior say, hey Tim, good job. Well done. But friends, staying focused and staying faithful is not going to be what happens just naturally. In other words, if you think to yourself that will just naturally come about, then you and I are sadly mistaken, and we've already set ourselves up for failure. And that's what Paul says here. He's saying, don't get apathetic. Don't get satisfied. Don't get settled. Don't relax, cross your arms, and think, I'll just glide from here. For young people, it can be the promise of a better future. For those of us who get a little bit older, it's just maintaining where we currently are, or increasing a little bit and thinking about retirement. For those who are retired, you're thinking, I paid my time, I've done my dues, it's all done now, I just glide to the end. And to each of us, regardless of social status, regardless of age, regardless of intellect, regardless of what our past has been, I'm telling you, what God is telling us through this passage is, don't ever lose sight of the fact that we're living for forever. Now, admittedly, I would love it if tonight and throughout this week, the Holy Spirit of God would place His hand on the hearts of some young people who would say, I'm willing to live for eternity in my life. And they hold up their hands to God and say, God, if You want me to live in full-time service, if You want me to be a missionary, if You want me to be a pastor, if You want me to somehow serve You full-time, God, I just want You to know that I am willing. And I think every child of God, regardless of age, must come to that place if they're ever going to be used by God. Look, don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in thinking that this world is all that there is. Everything that this world has to offer will come and it will go. Every amount of money will eventually be worth absolutely nothing. Nations rise and nations fall. Clothes are new and clothes are old. Styles come and styles change. Cars start and cars break down, or they have horses sit on them along the way. But the fact of the matter is that there is not anything that this world can offer that has value. But friend, in eternity, God and His approval of our faithfulness and staying focused will never lose its power, will never lose its value, will never lose its potency as important to us for all eternity. So, if that is the case, and since it is, Paul says here in this passage, in order to stay focused, in order for me to remain faithful and to stay focused, he says, brethren, here's what I do. This one thing I do. Now, it's interesting. He says, this one thing I do, and then he gives two things before he gives the one thing. He must have been a preacher. You can tell right away. This is the last thing I'm going to say. All seven of them. All right. So the Apostle Paul says, this one thing I do. Basically, what he's doing is he's setting up prerequisites to do the one thing. And he says, you'd be familiar with the passage. Look down. Verse number 13. Hey, you want to live for forever? You want to live for that which is eternal? Verse 13 begins it. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Here's the two things that set up the one thing. Forgetting those things which are behind. And secondly, he says, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And then he gives the one thing. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, now please, if you've heard this passage 150 times, please don't tune this out, because I'm convinced that God has me preaching this for you all as well as for myself. So please get this. He says, forgetting those things which are behind. What is Paul talking about? Well, in his story himself, I think Paul, because you can read the chapters before, Paul is talking about forgetting all of the things that to him used to hold value. Those things which he held in high regard that he thought gave him credence before God, because that's what he was living for. He was a Pharisee, a religious man, and he had the right heritage, and he had studied in all the right places, and he had even tortured people that disagreed with what he believed was so. This guy was a fanatic when it came to being a religious person. And the Apostle Paul says, okay, look, all of those things that in my mind I thought was going to please God, all of those things that held value to me, those things, in order that I may press toward the mark, in order that I can live for eternity, in order that I can stay focused and stay faithful, I am forgetting those things that are behind me. And then he says, and reaching forth unto the things that are before me, and as I'm doing this, I'm pressing toward the mark. Okay, now for you and I, most likely, we don't look at our heritage or perhaps even our religiousness prior to our coming to faith in Jesus Christ for what gave us value to God. Now, some of you may. Maybe you grew up in a home or in a place or in a religion where you thought you had to work your way to God, and you had to come to the place where you let go of that in order to trust in Christ and Christ alone, so that you would forget those things that are behind in that sense and reach forth. But for most of us, forgetting things that are behind us that held or can sometimes still hold value to us involves forgetting things like the life we used to live before we knew Jesus Christ, as we dealt with last night. Things in the past that were wrong, and they are things that the mistakes of them may still have fingers that reach up into our lives and stop us from feeling like we can go forward. Hey, you know, for some people, that which holds them from going forward is past failures that have been made right. That is, you have made mistakes in your past. You've done things that are wrong. And because of the things that you've done in the past, it has seemed impossible for you to stay focused and to keep pressing and to stay faithful and always growing and always working more for the Lord, because always you have Satan in your ear whispering, yeah, but you made that mistake. You can't serve me. You can't serve God, rather, he would say. You can't do what God would have you to do because you've made mistakes. All right, now listen to me. Please hear me. And I know this hits a specific group of people, so that there may be someone who struggles with being a little bit more introspective. And so every time you start to try to do something, you think about mistakes you've made, and it beats you down and it hurts you. Listen to me. When God says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess, he will forgive, he means it. When he says forgiveness is full and complete, he means it. And it may be that you have made some mistakes recently or in the far past that still have fingers that grab around your soul and choke you out from feeling like you can ever fully serve God with your life. But I am telling you, that is a lie of the devil. If you have made things right with God, then take God at his word that his forgiveness is full and that it is final. The blood of Jesus Christ ran for the forgiveness of those sins. And there are bigger sins than yours underneath the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust God about it. Well, you might say, but Tim, I don't feel forgiven. Okay. When it comes to a matter of how we feel and what God says, sometimes you got to kick feelings to the curb and just say, I'm going to believe that what God says is so, whether I feel it or not. when I was in college, I think it was junior or senior year of college, something had taken place over the summer months, something that I had done that was against my conscience and against what God wanted me to do. And I knew it was wrong, and it was eating at me. And at times it would eat at me more. And it was something that I tried to make right. I thought I'd gone to everybody I needed to go to and talked to the Lord about it. I confessed and forsaken it. And I can remember at times that would just eat at me. I'd be sitting in a chapel service listening to a preacher preach, and in the back of my mind it'd have replaying over and over and over and over again what I had done and what I had done and what I had done and how it wasn't right and it wasn't right. And it was just constantly bearing down on me. And we had a chapel speaker who was coming, who was an evangelist, and I had heard this evangelist preach several times before, and I knew that this evangelist was known not so much for offering comfort to people as he was for pounding on things pretty hard. And I was just feeling especially bad about what it was I was dealing with. And I came into chapel and I saw that he was the one speaking, and I went, oh no. And I said, Lord, I need something. I need help. Please help me. And the evangelist stood up and he preached out of the book of Psalms. And it wasn't so much on the passage that he spoke, but on the writer or writers of the passage. It was written by the sons of Korah. And Korah, you may be familiar with, was a man who instituted a rebellion against Moses, and God swallowed him up. And then the evangelist talked about the forgiveness and forbearance and long-suffering of God. And I went, thank God. That's what I need. God offers it. I can have it. And I can live with joy regardless of past failures that have been made right. Hey, look, if tonight you're living within the back of your mind, things play. Now look, if there's something that's wrong that you haven't made right, then take care of it. Make it right with whoever you sinned against and take care of it with God. But if you've taken care of things in the past, but it's still grabbing a hold of you, then take God at His word and say to God, God, I believe that you will do everything you promised you will do. You said you forgive. I believe you whether I feel it or not. And then with all of your heart, turn and press toward the mark that God has set for you, forgetting things that are behind. Don't let a past failure stop you from serving God. You say, Brother Tim, aren't there certain things that would hinder me from doing, like if I've made certain mistakes in the past, wouldn't that hinder me from serving in certain areas? Well, that may be. But friend, we're talking about a God who can use us beyond what we could ever imagine for things that are eternal. Just put yourself in His hands. So, forgetting things that are behind. For some, it's past failures that have been made right. Hey, for some, the reason why we're not focused and faithfully moving forward is because of past victories. We rejoice so much in what has happened in the past that we forget the fact that we don't serve a God of the dead, but of the living. That is, we thank God for the things that He's done in the past. I'm an evangelist. I read often of the revivals of 150 years ago. And I do pray, God, wow, I would love to see that. I don't mean for me, I just mean for us. I would love to see things like that take place again. But if my focus is so much on the past that I'm not living for what's eternal by pressing forward, then friend, that's something that holds too much value in my life if it hinders me from moving forward. There may be some who have retirement age. I can look around and see some people who I lovingly and respectfully refer to as gray hair, no hair people. And the vast majority of your living and your life, you're 60, 70 years age, and you probably only have 40 or 50 years left. So, So sometimes I think as we get a little bit older, the temptation can be, and I'm not at your place, and so I don't pretend to know, but I think it can come to the place where we just remember what used to be, what used to happen, and it hinders us from going forward. We say, Tim, I don't have the energy that I used to have. Really? I don't have the endurance that I used to have. I can't teach the way I used to. I can't do... Okay, all right. Hey, look, nobody ever said that pressing forward meant that there was never going to be changes, that God couldn't move how He uses us. And in the way that He uses us, that may be. But friends, our living for eternity, our focus and faithfulness must remain. It must remain, or else we just start to live for what is around us. And God help us not to get to the place where we just live for the things we can hold in our hands or for the hobbies we can enjoy without there being a constant thought in our mind of this is just a fleeting moment. This is just a vapor. And there is eternity coming, and I want to please God with my life and live for forever. God help us in every age to live with that kind of focus and that kind of faithfulness. Forgetting things that are behind. Letting go of anything that would hold me. When Jesus Christ came and began to teach, He began to teach things in such a radical way, saying, in essence, don't even worry about money. Follow God without concern about money. God clothes the fields. He takes care of the birds. Don't you think you have more value than that to Him? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Okay, that is easy for us to sit in a nice air-conditioned auditorium, raise our hands and say amen about, when in reality our lives may be filled with being concerned and consumed with those things that we can put in our pockets. I'm not saying it's wrong for us to have things. Certainly not. The Apostle Paul in Timothy said, Timothy, tell those who have riches to not trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in God who giveth us all things richly to enjoy. So if you've been blessed with wealth, or you've been blessed with stuff, don't think that this is a coming down, that you've chosen the wrong thing. But what I'm saying is, even wealthy people can live for something bigger than that. And if God chooses to give you much, then thank God for it. But you can work and gain while still living for eternity. See, here's the problem. I heard another preacher use it, and I'm stealing it fair and square. The problem is oftentimes in our mindset, what we do is we draw a circle, and this circle is our life. And in the middle of this circle, there's a big red dot, and that big red dot is our relationship with Christ, or our faith. And as a part of our life, and for some people, the dot's pretty big on the inside. We have the circle, it's our life, and for some people, it's pretty big. And those who are super Christians, wow, it's like three quarters of what they're about, that their faith, their relationship with God, that's what this is about. When in reality, it's all backwards. Where the big circle ought to be our faith, and in the middle is our life. Everything we do, whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, all of it is done for the glory of God. And for those young people who are here tonight, who are starting into life decisions and thinking about what you're going to do in the future, don't think to yourself, oh, I'll be a good Christian, therefore I will go to church and accomplish these things. You come to God. Teenagers, young adults, adults, older folks, we come to God and we say to God, God, You are everything to us. Whatever You want me to do, I will do. Wherever You want me to go, I will go. God, with focus and faithfulness, I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting things that are behind. And then He talks about reaching forth on the things that are before, because He knows what we know about us, and that is that our life is going to be made up of the choices we make. Your life, your direction is made up of choices that you make. It's just simple logic. Your choices every day point you in a direction so that the choices you make every day are going to direct you either towards living for the things of this world or else living for eternity. It's just the way it goes. Those things that you give the most importance in your life will direct your thinking. And your thinking will direct the choices that you make. And your choices will cause you to end up at the final destination of what it is you're shooting for. Okay. So he says here, reaching forth unto things that are before. In other words, just constantly stepping in a direction, constantly going forward. When I was in the fifth grade, my family moved from South Florida, or middle Florida, to the southeast corner of Iowa. We moved from city-ish life into the middle of nowhere. I think I may have mentioned Iowa yesterday. We lived on what was called the Round Prairie. Basically, we lived on a gravel road, and the closest concrete road was a mile and a half away from us. The closest town that had a Walmart was 17 miles away from us. I mean, we're talking, this was desolate, let me tell you. So we were surrounded by cornfields and bean fields. We had some friends, my family did. They lived about a mile away from us, and they homeschooled and we homeschooled. And so on a fairly regular basis, after school was finished, you know, 9:30 or 10:30 in the morning, after school was finished, we would ride our bikes down to their house because mom and dad weren't going to take us down in the car. It was just a mile out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't like a safety issue outside of if there was a cow in the middle of the road, which did happen on occasion. But we would ride our bikes from our house to their house. Now, in order to get to their house, you'd have to ride on a flat piece. This was the end of the Round Prairie, on a flat piece of ground on the gravel road, and then down a small hill, up a small hill, down a little bit larger hill, up a little bit larger hill, down one more fairly significant, and up a large hill, and then down and up into their driveway. So three hills that I had to overcome in order to get to their house to play. First one, piece of cake. I had my bike, and I'd ride down. It wasn't like a 10-speed bike. This was like a Wicked Witch of the West kind of bike. I mean, it was green, and it had the bell, and there was one gear, and that was whatever my legs would pedal. So I would ride down the flat area, go down that first small hill, come up the next small hill. It wasn't a problem. Now, going down the next hill, I could pick up some pretty serious speed going down, and I'd make it about 3/4 of the way up that next hill. But when I got to 3/4, then everything would slow down drastically. But if I pressed really, 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 really hard, I could make it up that second hill and then get it going as fast as I could down that third hill, make it up about halfway up that big hill, and then everything was just kind of coming to a standstill. But I wanted to make it. I wanted to press to the mark of the top of this hill. So I found something that would help me. And that is, if I would set smaller goals in reaching towards the main goal of making it to the top of the hill, if I'd set smaller goals, then I found out I could make smaller goals even if reaching to the end was a little bit difficult for me to get. So I would find some object that I about 10 feet in front of me that I could try to pedal to, and then as soon as I would reach that object, then I would look up. For me, it was a piece of gravel, which isn't hard on a gravel road. So I would look up about 10 feet in front of me, I'd see a piece of gravel, pedal, 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 reach that piece of gravel, then eyes go up, catch the next piece of gravel, pedal, 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 get to that piece of gravel and up. And after several times of doing that, I would finally crest the top of the hill feeling like a champion and ready to go down that last one and then up in their driveway to play. Okay, so it instructed me. It just taught me basically what this verse is saying. When Paul says, okay, the whole point of this is pressing toward the mark, but in order to do that, I have to forget things that are behind, past failures that have been made right, past successes that tempt me to live in the days of when I had success instead of constantly looking at what does God have for me next, what is it I'm supposed to be doing next, then in order to keep on going, I reach forth onto those things which are before, always looking up and seeing what it is that God has for me. Okay, so here's the deal. You may be sitting here tonight and you may say to yourself, Brother Tim, that's what I want. I want to live for eternity. I want to live to hear my Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't want to be encumbered about by all the cares of the world. That's not what I want to live for. I want to live for that which is eternal. How am I going to do that? And the answer is, after forgetting things that are before, You just take the step that's in front of you. The step that God orders for you. Psalm 37 tells us this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That is, God is the one who ordains them, who sets them up. Well, you say, how do I know what the steps of the Lord are? Hey, did you know that's something that a father loves to tell his children if they'll sit down and listen long enough? You want to know one of the main reasons why I get so caught up in the world that's around me and find myself as a preacher thinking more about things that go in my pocket or that go in my stomach than about eternity? Or focused on getting from one place to another as opposed to what God may have for me between one place and another? The thing that constantly grabs my attention, the reason why my attention constantly grabs towards those things is because far too often I'm not careful about taking time to just sit down and listen to the next thing my Father has for me. Now don't become so consumed with, is this next step the will of God for my life? Okay, look. If God places something in front of you, you have a desire for it, it doesn't go against what God says, you don't have to have angst in your life about it. Just step forward. But do the things that God says. But let me tell you what God will do. And He'll do this for any person who has ears to hear. God is going to provide for you obvious steps for you to take. And sometimes it may be through a verse of Scripture. Sometimes it may be by His Spirit just speaking to you. But He's going to provide for you opportunities to just constantly step forward and continue to stay focused on living for what is eternal. It may be that you're at a gas station and you're pumping gas and there's somebody that's in the next lane pumping gas and the Holy Spirit of God just says, hey, just hand them a track and tell them that God loves them. And if your ear is in tune, that's reaching forth onto the things that are before. And there are certain things that we know we need to be doing. We need to be in God's Word, yes. We need to be faithfully giving and being a part of missions and things that are going on. But I'm telling you, sometimes the next step that just causes us to stay focused and helps us to remain faithful is just doing the things that every day God wants us or tells us to do. But you can't know that. You won't know that without taking time to listen. My tendency, perhaps it's yours as well, is to throw energy and activity into my life until it bubbles and oozes out and there's no space for anything else. But Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. And in Isaiah 40, Isaiah reminds us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They're the ones who will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk, not faint. Friends, it is a blessed thing to be able to live for something that is more eternal. It is a blessed thing to be, that is more eternal than what this life offers. It is a blessed thing to not have just stuff be the end of everything that we live for. Don't lose focus and remain faithful. But when you hear faithful, don't think, well, I just hold on. No, no, no. Faithfulness means constantly reaching forth onto those things that are before and just learning to live in sweet submission and constantly listening to the voice and moving of God and then just taking steps, even if the steps that He has you take may seem a little bit difficult or may seem to be a little bit odd. As long as they match up with the Scripture and God is giving you direction about it, then you just step forward and step forward. And in doing that, what you're going to do is you're going to press toward the mark. You're going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. May God find us faithful, focused, forgetting what's behind, reaching forth unto what's before, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father,